This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school, Rock School, with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
The concert is known as The Night James Brown Saved Boston. The concept was to give people something to do so there would not be riots.
So wait a minute.
In Boston.
This happened the day after. He put this together in a day?
Class is in.
This is Rock School, and it's hot outside.
What?
Why can't it not be hot outside?
Hot would be nice. It's scorching.
It is. Everybody, just put cookies on the, unbaked cookies on the roof of your car.
Right.
When you get back, it'll be a nice snack to drive home with. I'm Joe Burns. This is Rock School. What's your name?
Chad P.
All right, folks, let's do a radio show here for you. You know, when somebody talks about concerts, the big three always pops to people's mind.
Woodstock.
Monterey, right. Woodstock, what else?
Monterey Pop, you just said that.
Altamont. Right. But there are other famous rock concerts.
Oh, yeah. There was the Barry Manilow reunion tour.
That's cute, because Barry Manilow was my first concert. That's adorable.
No, seriously.
Cher's 13 Goodbye Tour.
Yeah, really. You know? I think of Voodoo Fest, because that's a big one down
right,
here in Louisiana.
Fest,
Jazz
right,
Fest right. And things like that.
But there are other specific one-time-off concerts that in the world and the history of rock and roll have really had a place.
Okay.
And I thought, what the hey? Let's put a bunch of them together, tell the quick history of them, play, when I could, a song from the actual concert. What do you say?
These are one-time only?
One-time off
not
concerts.
Not recurring. So we're not talking about Ozfest or Lollapalooza or anything like that?
One-time off concerts.
Well, all right.
On August 15th, the Beatles came to the United States for their third time through. This is also the time when they met Elvis.
Oh,
Elvis
yeah.
kind of didn't pay attention to them and stared at Robert Goulet up on this in the jungle room. Right? On that tour was the famous Beatles at Shea Stadium concert.
That thing was packed.
And again, why are these things so famous? Sometimes because a riot occurred, sometimes because some other kind of event occurred, and a lot of the time because it was captured in one way or another.
Excellent.
This concert was captured in a documentary that aired on the BBC May 1st, 1966, and then in the United States on ABC January 10th, 1967.
How come we didn't get it till January?
You got me. Probably something to do with, you know, tape and stuff like that.
No,
probably
got lost in the mail.
Yeah, probably the concept of royalties.
Where's that concert?
Yes. Oh. Somebody find that. Bob, did you take that home? The show opened up with Twist and Shout, and it closed down with Down. And I happen to have the live version of it. From the Shea Stadium concert, Beatles, Down. Rock School.
You telling lies thinking I can't see. You can't cry cause you're laughing.
This is Rock School as we talk about some famous concerts other than the ones you know, Woodstock, Altamont, what have you. Just finished up the Beatles at Shea Stadium. By the way, when you heard that keyboard and it was going, if you get a chance, go on YouTube and take a look at it. John Lennon is simply taking his elbow and he's going up and down on the keyboard.
What?
The kids were screaming so loud. Now, we heard it because they had, you know, the sound system going through a recording system.
Yeah.
It was so loud, the Beatles couldn't even be heard by the people in the stands. So they were just goofing off and screaming and yelling and weren't even really paying attention. So
they could have been saying, like, we actually don't like any of you.
That's right.
Woo!
No one, yay! No one would have heard them. Okay, next concert. This is from April 5th, 1968. Now, those of you who are historians probably can pick the date out. The concert is known as The Night James Brown Saved Boston. It became a PBS film that showed on television station WGBH. April 5th, 1968 was the day after the death of Martin Luther King.
It was.
There you go. Now, Mayor Kevin White of Boston arranged for this performance and then made it so that people could come watch the performance, either come to the performance or watch the performance for free on WGBH. The concept was to give people something to do so there would not be riots.
So wait a minute.
In Boston.
If this happened the day after. He put this together in a day?
Well, I believe James Brown was already
set to
perform.
Okay.
Right.
He just made the PBS concept available.
Now, what happened was Brown demanded $60,000 to do this because he felt because the concert was going to be put on WGBH that he was going to lose all these gate fees.
Hmm.
And White had to do some things behind the stage and go to this place called The Vault, which was a group of people who sort of worked behind the scenes, rich people, and got money from them to pay James Brown this $60,000 and made it up from the hall and such. But James Brown actually performed. You can see the whole thing in a documentary on PBS called The Night James Brown Saved Boston.
Man, that's kind of lose a little bit of respect for James Brown.
Because
you think during such a time, why did you get greedy? You know, I understand this is what you got to do to make a living, but come on.
I don't know. He asked for the $60,000, got it, and stopped any kind of riot that would have happened. April 5th, 1968. I don't have any from the actual concert, but here's James Brown. I got the feeling. Rock school.
I got the feeling, baby, baby, I got the feeling. You don't know.
There you go, James Brown Saves Boston, right here on Rock School. Are you familiar at all, going on to our next concert, are you familiar at all with Musicians United for Safe Energy, or MUSE? Ever heard of it?
No.
Nope. How about 3 Mile Island? Ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. In 1979, these musicians, Jackson Browne, Graham Nash, Bonnie Raitt, and John Hall, got together, as in Hall & Oates, got together and formed MUSE, Musicians United for Safe Energy, because of the March 1979 Three Mile Island accident. Mm-hmm. By the way, I lived in Pennsylvania when Three Mile Island occurred. And I remember people went down to their local hardware store and bought this thing that looked like a pen.
Uh-huh.
And you could look through it, and there was like a small Geiger counter inside of it. It didn't do that like normal Geiger counters did, but it did have a little needle that moved back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Now, we lived so far away. I was in a little area called Altoona, and it didn't register anything, but I mean everybody had one because we were just positive that this was the end of it.
Really?
For us. And it was scary there, but nothing really happened. This group, MUSE, organized a series of concerts at Madison Square Garden in September 1979, and those concerts became known as the No Nukes concerts.
No nukes.
And that's what we're going to play. Those guys, Brown, Nash, Raitt, Hall, they all played, of course, along with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Bruce, James Taylor, Carly Simon, I'm just reading them here, Chaka Khan, Doobie Brothers, Gil Scott-Heron, Tom Petty, Poco, and a whole lot of other ones. And I actually have some from the actual concert. My apologies for how it sounds. It's a little bassy, but when you're dealing with tape from way back then,
yeah,
it
you're not
tends
gonna get
to get a little bassy. You bet. Here's Jackson Brown from No Nukes, Running on Empty. Rock School. This is Rock School, as we talk about a few more famous concerts you should probably have in your brain and be able to talk about.
I wonder if the current band MUSE, you know, the one that plays I wonder if they got their name inspiration from
the No Nukes concert. I don't know.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Might not be the worst thing to find. Name for me the concert that happened in 1985 where a single artist performed both in JFK and JFK Stadium in Philadelphia,
right,
and Wembley Stadium in London.
In the same year?
Same concert. Same concert.
Oh.
Took the Concorde.
Huh.
Can you do it? Go ahead and tell you the person. Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
Do you know the concert?
In the air tonight.
Live
know.
Aid. Live Aid. Now, you were old enough to remember Live Aid, weren't you?
I was five.
Oh, you were five? Well, yeah, maybe. Here, have a juice box. Look, Mom, Live Aid. Live Aid was put together by Bob Geldof and Midge Ure. Most people had no idea who Bob Geldof was unless you were a real fan of that kind of music, but he really came to prominence after that. It was for famine relief in Ethiopia, and JFK Stadium, Philadelphia, about 100,000 people. Wembley Stadium, London, about 72,000 people. And for a day, concert after concert after concert. And I missed the whole thing.
Why?
I had to do radio that day.
Oh.
I was stuck on the air. And they allowed at many radio stations for the license to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the two radio stations I had to work, I had to do a nighttime show, and then I had to get up the next day and do an all-request show. Neither of my stations paid the licensing fee to carry it.
Well, dude, that's when you get your friend Dave to...
Do what, to tape it?
No,
you got to remember, this is back when VCRs were very expensive.
No, man, get him to sit in for you.
I missed the whole thing. I missed the whole darn thing.
Oh, no.
What I remember about it was that this was one of the last concerts where Freddie Mercury was really healthy, strong, and amazing on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Live from Live Aid. Here's Queen. Radio Gaga. By the way, Lady Gaga took her name from Radio Gaga.
Well, yeah, they have a little bit of a similarity there.
You betcha. Queen, Rock School. You know, I still never have seen the entire Live Aid. I've only seen drips and drabs of the whole thing.
Come on, dude. I figured that if anyone would see it in its entirety,
no,
you would.
Never have. There's DVDs of it, and I still have never seen the whole thing.
Well, that's your homework.
There's even big sections of the 9/11 attack, because if you remember, I was thrown on the air here.
Yep. I sure do.
I remember the 10-year anniversary of the 9. I'm sorry, the 5-year anniversary of the 9/11 attack when they reran the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down in front of the television and watched the whole thing because I never got to see it.
No,
because I was on the air.
A lot of us were running around at that time.
Yep, I missed the whole thing. Hello, WBSD, Burlington, Wisconsin. Coming up after the break, I'm going to talk to you about something that happened back in 1972 with Memphis's Stax Records.
Nice.
Who do you got?
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana, the home of the never-ending concert.
That's right.
It's still going on.
Hey, look, you want to be friends with us on Facebook? Dig this.
Digging.
Go to Facebook and search Rock School Radio Show. We have a page now.
There we are.
It's just our page, Rock School Radio Show, and you will get us, of course, iTunes and the podcasts, and of course, when you get to the Facebook page, I'll tell you all how to do that. Back in a minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about a few more concerts you should know, some one-offs. Watts Stax is what we're going to talk about. Stax Records.
Stax Records.
Together with Watts. Spell that WATTSTAX if you want to look it up.
So it's actually one big word.
Right. Watts Stax pushed together.
Okay.
August 20th, 1972 was the 7th anniversary of the Los Angeles Watts riots.
Oh, yeah. That one was like a big deal.
It was the biggest one before the Rodney King
of
riots in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Apparently a simple traffic stop. These were the Watts riots.
Mm-hmm.
A simple traffic stop.
Escalated into
Well,
into there had been a lot of, I think, racial tension and everything leading up to that, and this thing just kind of pushed it over the top. The guy who got arrested, his brother and his mom,
were also arrested straight away.
I remember reading about that.
Well, it only took, they say, it only took a traffic stop. Well, you got to remember, all these things led up to it. This was just the straw that broke the
back. Well, there was so much gasoline on that wood at that time. All you needed was a small spark.
Still, August 20th, 1972, the 7th anniversary, Memphis's Stax Records held a concert at the Los Angeles Coliseum to commemorate this anniversary.
Yeah.
Watts Stax was supposed to be the African-American answer to Woodstock and to enable as many people to come as possible. Dig this. They sold concerts for $1 a piece.
What?
$1. If you had $1, four quarters, you could walk into this concert.
To see who?
The Reverend Jesse Jackson gave the invocation. You ever heard his I am somebody, somebody, the poem, that's sort of a call and response poem?
Yes, yes, yes.
That was his invocation. That's where he started it. The Dramatics, the Staple Singers, Kim Western, the Emotions, the Bar Case, Albert King, and on and on and on.
$1.
If you were around for Stax Records at that point in time, you played at Watts Stax for $1.
And this was 70...
72.
So it's not like $1 was the equivalent of $50. $1 was $1.
It was $1. Here you go. Staple Singers. They played Respect Yourself right here. Rock School. That played at Watts Stax, the Staple Singers, right here on Rock School.
You realize you could get a hold of one of those tickets and scalp it for $5 and make a killing profit?
Make a profit. Oh. Who would scalp it? I'd go.
Well, I'd go too, but still, yeah. You know, you got greedy people.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, welcome to the bottom of the hour. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Get back to our next concert right after we do 7 days and 70 seconds, Monday, August 16th through Sunday, August 22nd. Do it, Chad.
Got it. Monday, August 16th, 35 years ago in 75, Peter Gabriel broke the hearts of all the fans of Genesis by announcing he was leaving the group. You know why he said he was leaving?
Why?
He can't dance.
That's true. 40 years ago, Tuesday, August 17th, Christine McVie joins her husband John McVie as a member of Fleetwood Mac.
August 18th in 1992, Kurt Cobain of Nirvana and Courtney Love of Hole became parents to their daughter, Frances Bean.
Yeah, you've heard about the story of Courtney in the delivery room.
Don't even want to know.
Yeah, praying that the kid didn't have three arms.
Yeah.
30 years ago, Thursday, August 19th, a riot ensues in Toronto, Canada. Around 1,400 fans did it when Alice Cooper canceled his concert due to an illness.
August 20th, back in 2000, Bon Jovi played the final show at the venerable Wembley Stadium in London, England before a sold-out audience.
Saturday, August 21st, 5 years ago in 2005, Dr. Robert Moog, and it is pronounced Moog, inventor of the Moog synthesizer, died of a brain tumor in Asheville, North Carolina. And 40 years ago, August 22nd, Elvis announced he will embark on his first countrywide tour since 1958. And that's 7 days and 70 seconds. Back to one of our concerts we're talking about, one of the ones you really should know. This is one you can get a perfect copy of. Thanksgiving Day, November 25th, 1976, at the Winterland Ballroom, San Francisco, directed by Martin Scorsese. The Last Waltz by the band. The band decided, we're done. We don't want to tour anymore. So they had one more giant, had enough. Paul Butterfield, Eric Clapton, Dr. John, Joni Mitchell, Van Morrison, Ringo Starr, Muddy Waters, blah-diddy, 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 blah, and all these people joined him on stage.
Wow.
The whole thing was captured. A big giant. Thanks for being a great band, and off they went.
For more than $1.
For more than $1. Here's The Shape I'm In, and it's live from that concert right here, Rock School. This is Rock School. We talk about some famous concerts
the
that
band.
Are set aside. Yeah,
oh, I bet
band.
That was fun.
Well, if you can get in.
Yeah.
You got to think it's got to be filled with, you know, it's one of those things where it's a 10,000-seat hall and 4,000 seats are available to the audience. Well, who's there? Every record rep in the world. The attack in New York City occurred September 11th. 2001.
The 9th year anniversary is coming up.
That's right, 9th year. So
Doc,
next year, obviously,
Doc,
10th.
I got to tell you, I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting in my office, and I don't remember the name of the man who ran this radio station at that point in time, but he came tearing down the hall, looked at me, and he said, "You have radio experience." I said, "Yes, I do." He grabbed me, and he said, "You're on the air." And I sat here for, how many hours was I on the air? Six
at
or seven?
Six, yeah.
Yeah, and we sat here. Following the attacks on October 20th, 2001, at Madison Square Garden, New York City, with the families and the friends and the heroes. There's no other way to do it. I mean, the word hero gets thrown around all the time, but the people that ran to the buildings, that ran in the buildings, that survived it, the police department, the fire department, the rescue people, those in the ambulances were all honored by, I mean, an absolute who's who. I mean, the Who, Jagger, Richards, Bowie, Clapton, name them at the time, and they were there. Little movies made by Woody Allen, Martin Scorsese, Spike Lee. It was something else. And the one that sticks in my mind, I don't know who he was, but I believe he was a fireman. He came out, he said, "I am," and then he said his name, "and I live in," it was a borough in Brooklyn, "and this is my face." And then he said the word for a female dog. And I thought, well, that went over network television.
Wow.
So, and the one that really knocked me out was when Billy Joel sat there at a grand piano and played New York State of Mind. So for the concert for New York City, which, by the way, videotaped, audio, you can still buy the records, the DVDs, the CDs, and money still goes to those who lost people in 9/11. Here's New York State of Mind. Rock School.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood. Hop a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood.
This is Rock School. It's time for our last break, and we're going to tell you the concerts we're not going to be able to play, and then finish on one from my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. Here are the ones we're not going to be able to play. The concert for Bangladesh. Now, that's the one that was put on by George Harrison and Ravi Shankar all the way back August 1st, 1971. And if you want, you can still buy the DVD and still buy the record for it. And the money still goes to Bangladesh Relief.
Nice.
Concert for Central Park. Now, a lot of people have played Central Park. Carole King has done it, Supremes, Dave Matthews, Barbara Streisand, Bob Marley, Diana Ross. However, the one most people go to when they think about it is Simon and Garfunkel.
Mm.
So that's another one we were going to play, but didn't get around to it.
You got any that you ever went to, Doc?
Majors?
Yeah.
Not really. No, I mean, we're just straightaway concerts. They didn't really, it's not like, I was there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know which one sticks out in my mind? I wasn't there, but a lot of people saw it. I don't even know if you could classify it as a concert, but it was the Green Day U2 first Monday night football game back into the Superdome, where they played like the first, I think it was just about a nine-minute.
After Katrina?
Yeah, I think it was about a nine-minute set. But I'm not afraid to admit that I shed a tear.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, when he screamed
broke
out.
You up?
Oh, God, yes, it did.
The thing that on that one that hit me is when Chris Berman said, "Good morning, America, how are you?"
Yeah.
He did the first line. And
Yeah.
Pink Floyd's Live in Berlin. This was July 1990. This is when the whole thing was set up and all of the stars were brought in, like Cyndi Lauper was brought in to sing Another Brick in the Wall. Scorpions were brought in. Bryan Adams was brought in. After the wall actually came down at the Brandenburg Gate, they performed The Wall in Berlin. And they set up, they built the whole wall and then crashed a plane into it, knocked it down.
Wow.
Cream's final concert at the Royal Albert Hall. 26 November 1968. That's the one you hear Crossroads and it's always live. Mm-hmm. That's where it's from.
Okay.
Farm Aid. That's the one it's always done. Champaign, Illinois is where it started. But it's always Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp, Neil Young, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And it's made to raise money for farmers. Mm-hmm. And finally, the one I didn't get around to, the Newport Folk Festival. And the reason we didn't is because we've talked about it. In fact, we talked about it not too long ago on the show. That's the one where Dylan went electric.
I'm surprised you didn't have a Jimmy Buffett one in there.
He does a lot of those kind of concerts.
Anytime they have anything that kind of disaster-wise, you know, remember
Jimmy
when that
Buffett's
bridge
there.
Collapsed in Minnesota? I'm surprised
Jimmy
they
Buffett
didn't stick him
there.
On a floating barge. Jimmy Buffett.
Here we go. This is the one we're going to finish on, and I think you should know about this one. Whenever somebody says, "Gee, what was the first rock concert ever?"
Somebody was asking me that yesterday.
I have the answer.
What is it?
It's the Moondog Coronation Ball, created by radio DJ Alan Freed of the Nifty 850 WJW in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
Happened March 21st, 1952, the first rock and roll concert. Now, what happened? It barely went off.
Why?
It was supposed to be a whole slew of people, including Tiny Grimes, Danny Cobb, the Dominoes, a whole bunch of other people playing. The problem was this place where it was supposed to take place would only hold approximately 20,000 people.
Okay.
The problem was everybody who had a ticket counterfeited it.
Huh?
And for this place that was supposed to hold 20,000 people.
40,000 showed up.
Like 100,000 showed up. And once the music started and you could hear the music outside, people rushed it.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know that a riot ensued, but as soon as it went after, fire authorities shut the whole thing down. So supposedly the first rock concert in history.
Yeah.
Shut down after the first act. Now, who was the first act? Paul Williams and his Hucklebuckers. You ever heard of them?
No.
And here's what they sound like. We're going to finish with them. This is called Sinner's Hop, Part 1. And that's some concerts for you to look into. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad.
Class is dismissed.